Welcome once again to In the Garden with Kelly and Char. How does your garden grow?
I am so pleased to be seeing things grow again after sufficient moisture. So pleased.
It makes a huge difference in our mood as well.
Yes.
Today's topic is going to be fall cleanup. And I don't mean by things out in the garden, although it's going to be garden related. But it's all the different things Char and I over the summer have realized that there are so many topics that we have wanted to talk about and forgotten, or little things that we wanted to add and we ran out of time.
Right.
I think that's what happens when two friends talk about any subject. They run out of time because their mind gets going faster than our time allows. And we are so grateful, once again, too, to have this opportunity, this platform, every Wednesday. I had someone actually come up to me and say, "Are you that Wednesday lady?" My Wednesday lady. And she said, we've been listening to talking about ladies talking about In the Garden, and it's on Wednesdays. And I said, "Yes, that's us." And she goes, "Which one are you?" So she said, "I recognized your voice." So radio is a wonderful thing. We thank KDWA for making it possible for us to expound about all things gardening, and some things not even particularly garden related, but we have a lot of inspiration here today, Char. I brought some red glads, which to me look orange, which brings me to my first topic, and that is I have heard so much this summer about people finding mislabeled seeds, and they have purchased squash, tomatoes, cucumbers, and when the produce finally comes on, they say, "This isn't what I planted. This isn't really what the seed packet said." So I think, you know, generally, I think seed manufacturers and suppliers are very good at keeping all those little tiny varieties, you know, compact. But I think that some people, especially people who save seeds, might have this issue. That their produce either is hybridized, it's crossed with something. I even had a picture of a lady who said, "I think my tomato and pepper combined because my tomatoes look like peppers. Is it possible that they cross-pollinated?" What do you think?
Not possible.
Not possible. But she had some very unusual looking tomatoes.
Shape, maybe.
Very unusual shape. And so she said, "I think I'm just going to make salsa." And she said, "It doesn't matter what they look like."
Right.
And I have been doing that. Speaking of tomatoes, you know, I've been using, I've never planted tomatoes from seeds that I've taken from a tomato. You know, some people
Me
do,
either.
But I will find little volunteers in the spring that will
I've got some cherry tomatoes that are green right now that are volunteers.
Uh-huh. Volunteers mean extra plants. But no matter how you get your seeds or how your garden looks this time of year, you know, we come to the fall and I think our garden looks something completely different than what we had imagined. And some, as I said, some of these seeds that are popping up that are producing things that you didn't expect, sometimes that's an added bonus.
Right. Right.
Sometimes it's a surprise. And with all this heat, I think we can't be surprised at anything anymore.
Nope, I agree.
So many of our crops were waylaid. Now, my tomatoes, getting back to my tomatoes, they took forever to get going.
Right.
They just took
That's
forever.
True.
There was no, and I was watering them just, oh my gosh, the number of nights that I would go out.
I thought they'd never mature.
And now they're 6.5, 7 foot tall. They are green, they are vibrant, they are producing at a rate that is crazy, although we had some heavy rains a few weeks back, and they started splitting. I know there's some people who are not very versed in growing tomatoes, and they're worried that those produce are no longer good to eat. Of course they're good to eat.
Sure they are.
They're just overfilled with water.
Right, right. That's right.
They soak them up like a sponge and then they burst their skins.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people also said this summer they had problem with blossom end rot.
Yes.
So I don't know. I've never had that problem. I had blight and we talked about that on an earlier show.
I've had
show.
Blight too this year.
And that's one of the reasons too on your tomato vines, especially as we get farther into the fall, make sure if you have any blighted, and that looks like a a light yellow or a deformed leaf, things that are starting to curl
mm-hmm.
yeah, with spots on them, get rid of those.
Yep.
They don't need those leaves to grow.
Right. That's correct.
Okay.
Get rid of it.
Get rid of it. And also take it far away and do not put it in your compost to reintroduce that.
Right.
I had a very spirited conversation with a person at church, of all places, about growing tomatoes and saying that you need to alternate your tomato site every year to avoid blight. Make sure that you plant your tomatoes in a different site. Now, what do you think about that?
I agree to that. And I think I've even mentioned that in some of our tomato shows.
Mm-hmm.
I would try to rotate just as you would potatoes after so many years.
But make sure you keep them far, far away from anything black walnut.
Right.
So I had 14 tomato plants that unfortunately were sacrificed to black walnut. And they weren't even that close to the tree, but it must have been beyond the drip line that came off the leaves and then went into the soil and then down into the tomatoes.
There is a chemical compound in walnuts, and off the top of my head, I can't pronounce it, but even in the root system in the ground, it's highly toxic to other plants.
Well, that's going to be the last place I plant anything, I think, right now. Although my raspberries do really well there, which doesn't make any sense to me, but they seem to produce fruit. So anyway, I think if you can move, it's hard finding the sun, though, as so many of us plant trees and bushes and things like that to give us a little bit of privacy. Sometimes that canopy will...
Too much.
It will be too much, and we don't have garden space like we used to.
Right.
So true. Finding that lovely space. Now, can you get blight out of existing soil? Is there something that you could do other than literally scooping out the soil and amending it with new soil in the spring?
Really not. I guess just the rotation and possibly making sure your amendments are really healthy.
That's another thing, too. We want to make sure that as people plan for next year's garden, get a soil test.
Yes.
It's so inexpensive. I think it's between $7 and $10, and you can send it into the University of Minnesota and send it into the Ag Extension, and they can take care of that for you. If you don't know what you're planting in, you're really not going to be successful in getting, and it's such a small step. I mean, really, just mail in a soil sample. So many people put down needless fertilizers and amendments. They're increasing their nitrogen, they're increasing all these things, and they're still having poor
mm-hmm,
crops.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because they're trying to grow things in soil that's not either acid or alkaline
right.
ready for the crop that they're
right.
trying to plant. So
right.
give yourself a break,
you
give yourself the tools that is possible.
And
today we're talking fall cleanup items, things that we've either forgotten or wanted to mention before we get done with our season. And we will go all the way through the end of November. Our last show will be our traditional holiday gift giving idea show that will happen the day before Thanksgiving. We're looking forward to that. Char, you're already collecting things for that, aren't you?
I've got my list. I'm checking it twice.
And are you going to give the list to Rudy?
You bet.
That's a good idea. Well, another thing that we wanted to mention too, and Char, you were so great. We featured this on our Facebook page when it happened, was the migration of the monarchs as they came through on their way to Mexico, and you had a tree full.
I did. I started noticing these groups last year, and this fall again, we are having that same thing happen. Hopefully after the taping, I can swing Kelly down there on my gator and show her some of what. They maybe have flown a little bit already, but it's so fun to watch them.
Well, they have to take a break because they have a very long flight ahead of them.
3,000 miles.
3,000 miles, and I don't know if there's dinner service in between.
And you know what? I am guilty. I forgot to plant my giant zinnias this year.
Oh, well, those always bring them around. But I think by now they're pretty used to stopping here
right.
at the Char Farm. And so I think they've just got it on their route. Maybe it's one of those.
We're on the list.
You're on the list. Well, that sounds great. One thing that is on my list, and it's on my, well, as Santa would say, my naughty list, and that are the bees of fall. And I feel so awful for people who, you know, obviously are very, very allergic. I am sensitive, but I am, you know, I don't have a tragic or severe outcome, but I have been stung so many times this fall, just out doing, you know, just usual things. And I've also heard, not only bees are voracious this time of year, but wasps and hornets, they're looking for food. They're looking for a way to, you know, sustain themselves through the winter. And the bald-faced hornets right now, and they are so aggressive. And I've seen post after post of those as I'm watching some of my garden online sources. And they're just talking about literally being attacked by these things. And they're not bees. These are definitely not bees.
Okay. For me, it's yellow jackets, those little things that kind of hover and they don't just swoop away. If I get stung by them, I actually get a fever. I can get stung by a bee, a honeybee, a bumblebee, but a yellow jacket, I actually get a fever and quite sick.
It's really one of those things that you have to keep in mind when you're in the garden, when you're doing things outside, but especially this time of year. And I don't know if it's changed by our, you know, our invasion into their territory, or if they're just coming into our territory more because there's food sources. We always seem to have something sweet laying around, and I don't know if it's just sweet things. There's also a lot of things in the garden that are decomposing. You have some maybe tomatoes that fell off, and they're drawing those. They're also around our bird bath and what I call my bee bath, because I fill one area of it with stones so that it attracts the bees. They have to, you know, have something to drink. But now, now that our rain total is back a little bit more, certainly more than it was this summer, they seem to not be congregating. I would come out and the bee bath would literally be filled with bees drinking, trying to sustain themselves in that heat. So, but I keep that far away from the door as well, because they will, they're just everywhere. And you know, we love them. We need them.
We
understand
them.
That. But, oh my gosh, you just have to be careful. So if you are susceptible to bee stings, you know, make sure you have the Benadryl ready, or even an EpiPen, or some sort of a antihistamine that you can get into your system really quickly. It's just one of those things that we take for granted, I guess, that there are friends in the garden, and normally they are.
Normally.
But you do have to watch out. Another thing, Char, you have to watch out for, as we are taping this, I have had 3 coyote sightings. Now, I am just on the border. We're actually out in a more rural area, as are you. And I know that you see them from time to time.
Every morning.
I had a confrontation with one at night. And I tell you, it was hair raising, and not in his hackles raising on the back of his neck, but on mine. Oof. And I shouted and I clanged and I waved my arms, and he stared at me.
Oh, spooky.
It was really spooky. And I was very concerned. So I did get one of those deterrents. And maybe some of our audience members has one of these. But they have the little red eyes that flash. And the secret to those is that you put them just around the outside of the perimeter that you want to contain. And you put them only up about 20 inches. So it's like another predator there. I've also seen photos of bobcats and cougars that are coming increasingly closer to populated areas.
Sure.
So you have to be so careful,
yes,
especially with small
pets.
Animals.
Yes. We both have cats, and I always lock my cat up at night because I've lost so many over the years.
It's so tragic. And obviously, you know, as we, as a famous singer once said, pave paradise and put up parking lots, there's less and less environment for them.
True.
To go. And I do understand that. And we are in a wooded area, so it's not that far of a stretch to imagine seeing them. But be very careful, especially at night when you're out. Make sure you have, I carry a whistle around my neck.
Good idea.
And, you know, it's just when I go outside, and if it's after dark, I carry a whistle.
Good idea.
And I think even if it doesn't scare the coyote away, it might bring help.
Yeah, help.
Mom's down at the barn. Well, we're talking today about fall cleanup, and it's just some of the topics that we haven't gotten to or we wanted to expound on a little bit more. And I think we've done a pretty good job of that. You know, as fall approaches, we're going to have more things that are going to be changing. We're going to talk about tree damage and tree preservation this winter. We're going to talk about some of the things that we do to put our garden to bed. It's hard to believe that it's that time already, but things that we need to do to ensure a successful spring garden. And as I look forward to spring, it reminds me of a question, and I think we're going to use this for our question of the day. And our questions come in too via Facebook. We have In the Garden with Kelly and Shar on Facebook. And some of the questions that people respond to if they send a picture, they always say, well, what was your most influential part about the summer? And so I'm going to say it was the heat. It was the most memorable part of my summer. But on the plus side, it really gave me lots of great tomatoes. So we're going to turn it over and let's ask Shar. Shar, what was your most influential part of the summer?
I think I would agree with you as far as trying to beat the heat, beat the drought that we had so many weeks of, week after week of watering, trying to figure out the best way to do that, the rhythm of getting the water to the plants, knowing when they were in stress mode, but also kind of keeping track of the yield of the garden, trying to make sure that that kept up. So, yeah.
Well, we had a memorable summer and fall. I'm confident that we will have a memorable fall.
Yes.
And we hope that you'll stay with us every Wednesday all this fall as we talk about things in the garden. And if you'd like to talk about it with us, please listen in at KDWA or listen online at KDWA.com. See you, Shar.
Bye, everyone.
That's our show for today. Be sure to tune in next week to In the Garden with Kelly and Shar. Heard each Wednesday on KDWA Radio and online at KDWA.com. Rain for rain, sun and rain. I find my